Well, hello, everybody. Good to see you. And those of you who are online, wherever you are right now, at home or driving down the road or something, podcasting this later, really glad that you're with us. And if you're podcasting, you probably can't see. I wore my party shirt today. And there's a reason for that, because one of the main ways Jesus described the kingdom of God is as a party. And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to see the power of celebration. And this place is a party for all the wrong people, which means people like me can be here. And Jesus, when he talked about it, said that the only people who don't join the party are those who think they're already too good for it. And it's available for everybody. And so if you wonder if this is a place for you, it is. It's a place for everybody. And there's a place for us. And so we're going to talk about that. We also, speaking of party next week, as your host may have said, at your campus is St. Patrick's Day. We're doing a St. Patrick's Day party. And if you want to wear green, wear green. It's going to be fun. And then 2 weeks after, or then another 2 weeks after that is Easter. And please be praying about who, and inviting. And just pray about who am I going to invite to sit with me. And I'll send out an email actually asking for, hey, who are the people you're inviting? And who are the people who are coming? Because I want to pray for everybody by name. And who is, because you never know what God's going to do. And I think God's going to do something really significant this Easter. So there's a lot going on. And so today we're in this series on this Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And see if this sounds familiar. So this is 2,500 years ago, but see if it sounds familiar now. So what the book is about is a group of people who normally would not be together, but join together to do a mission, to change their environment, to change their world in a significant way. Empowered by God, they are involved in doing the impossible. And that should sound familiar, because that's what church is. Church is a movement of people who normally would not be together, but are together because of a common commitment, common relationship to Jesus, and a commitment to his mission, where we join together to be involved in the impossible. Now, 2,500 years ago, what that looked like was the first big impossible thing that was in front of them was to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Because 100 years before that, Babylon had come in and smashed the walls. The city was in rubble. And for a century, things were bad for God's people in the Old Testament era, the nation of Israel. And their enemies would come in. Every time they tried to get something going, it'd be destroyed. And Nehemiah, who is over in Persia, an official in the Persian Empire who is Jewish, hears about what's going on. He gets permission from Artaxerxes, the emperor, to go back and rebuild the wall and then begin to rebuild the city, to rebuild a civilization. And it's this impossible job because they don't have the right stuff. They don't have a lot of trained people. There's all kinds of opposition. But in 2 months, by God's help and by everybody participating, they accomplish the impossible. And then they throw a party and they celebrate. And today what we're talking about is the power of celebration, the power of affirmation. Because for a lot of us, and some of you are just natural celebrators, and that's great. We need you and all that. But if you're like, I'm not. Because I always think, man, it's hard for me to stop and celebrate because there's always more to do. It's like, man, we don't have time, like, you know, the money or the time or whatever. And what I've been really challenged this over these last couple of weeks looking at this passage. And you'll hear about that, because celebration is way more powerful than we think. It's part, God does it all the time. It's part of his character. And if you and I were more like God in this way, we would elevate everything around us much more than we naturally would. Meaning everywhere we go, in our school, if you're a student, in our place of work, in our neighborhood, in our family, in our church, in our world, in our community, everywhere we go, we would make everything better. We would raise everything up. And today we're going to see the power of that. And if you tend to dismiss it, let me encourage you not to. Because we're missing one of the most powerful things we can do in our world to elevate everywhere God has put us. So we're going to be looking in Nehemiah as they celebrate the wall, and we'll look at this passage. But before that is another time of celebration as Nehemiah is trying to get them into a celebration mode because they've been pretty beat down. It's easy to get beat down in our world, right? Life is hard. Things are difficult. And in this part of the story, what happens is as they're looking through all the rubble, because their city's in rubble, and they're cleaning it up to find rocks for the wall, they look, and there's these scrolls there. And because they didn't have books, they used scrolls. And when they look at the scrolls, they realize this is the Bible. These are books of the Bible that have been lost just in the rubble. And so for 100 years, the Bible had been lost. And so they open it up and people begin to read it to everybody. Everybody stops and they hear and they just take a day and they read the Bible, all these scrolls. And the people are so overwhelmed because they've never heard it. And they're like, this is amazing and yet overwhelming too. All this stuff to do and what God wants. But catch what Nehemiah says in that moment. Nehemiah 8:9, he says, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. This day is holy. Do not mourn or weep. Now, hold that thought a little bit, because a lot of times we think, well, if it's holy, you should mourn and weep because it's holy. But he's saying, no, you're not thinking about holiness right. For all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know about you, what kind of church you grew up in, but when I got exposed to church and people would say things like, this is holy, that meant it was like, you don't smile, you don't laugh, you don't have fun, because it's holy. And if it's holy, it means you got to be miserable, because it's holy. Right? Like I remember at our church, like years ago, when our kids were little, and even before that, when I was a pastor, and when we moved, you know, we relocated to our legacy campus from another campus down by Target in Plano, and it had these sloped floors that were really sloped, and children, little kids, loved it because after church they could roll down the thing. And we always had these grumpy people who, you know, every now and then, not always, but every now and then, hey, stop that. This is church. And I made it my mission every time I heard that to go to those people and say, oh, no, this is church, which means they need to roll and they need to laugh and they need to have fun, because I want kids growing up knowing church is fun and it's a great place to be. And this is the house of our Heavenly Father who loves kids and who smiles when kids are giggling. That's what I want, right? And I still want that. And holiness is not what a lot of people think. There's a time to be serious and there's a time to mourn and there's a time, that's true. But what Nehemiah is saying, holiness just means to be set apart. This is a time to party. This is a time to celebrate. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the seriousness of the Lord is our strength. Not the judgment of the Lord is our strength. Not even the instruction of the Lord, as good as that is our strength. What's our strength? No matter what our circumstances, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's say it together. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's a power of celebration. Now we're going to see as they celebrate and they dedicate the wall to God, it's done. It's amazing. It's incredible. And I'm going to read the passage, but I'll warn you, this is one of those passages because there's a lot of names that are hard to pronounce. I'm going to do my best. And it's one of those passages when you're like, if you're trying to read through the Bible, everybody gets stuck in Leviticus, right? You in the beginning of the year, you think I'm going to read the Bible, and then you get in Leviticus and it all goes, you know, just, but maybe you get long enough and you get it to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah, this is one of those passages that you'll just kind of skip over. I've never heard a sermon on this passage. But it's really important. And I want to bring out the importance. Even the names are important. So we're going to read the passage, but you're going to have to concentrate. Some of you are good at that. Some of you like me are ADD. And so you got to just get it together, all right? We can do this. God loves ADD people too. At least I hope, because I'm one of them. And so take your pill, whatever, if you have a prescription, whatever you got to do. Here it is, okay? Nehemiah 12. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites, who were priests, were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem. Catch this, for the musicians had built villages for themselves. We'll come back to that, around Jerusalem. And when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremoniously, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. I had the leaders of Judah go up to the top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. Sounds like a fun gate. Hoshea and half the leaders of Jerusalem followed them, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, as well as some priests with trumpets, and also Zechariah, son of all these people that eventually get to Asaph. Now, Asaph was the reason they're bringing out, hey, this guy's a descendant of Asaph, is he was the most well-known musician in Israel's history. He was the choir leader under King David. He wrote a number of the Psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. It'd be like saying, this guy's a descendant of Elvis in our day. And his associates, Shemaiah, Azrael, Milalai, Gilalai, Ma'ai, Nathaniel, Judah, and Hanani, with musical instruments prescribed by David, the man of God. Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. And then the second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. And I followed them on top of the wall, together with half the people. So everybody's involved in this. And at the gate of the guard, they stopped. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials, as well as the priests, Eliakim, Messiah, or Ma'asiah, Minimi, Micaiah, I'm losing it. All these dudes with their trumpets and some more dudes and some more dudes. And then the choir sang under the direction of another dude. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. Some of you right now, joy is so elusive because in this light, life can get really hard and discouraging. And I get it. But where can you find joy no matter what? In the Lord. You can say, God, I need joy. I need your strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And they were rejoicing because God had given them great joy. And the women and children also rejoiced. And the sound of rejoicing, all these singing and all this stuff in Jerusalem could be heard far away, way outside the gates. You think our worship is loud? It's nothing compared to what was happening back then. Now, so they throw this big party. This was a bit, it was expensive, it was involved, it was elaborate. And understand, they had every reason to say, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't stop and celebrate. Because, yeah, this is a great milestone. We finished the wall. But that's just the start of it. Like, the rest of our city is still in rubble. Like, we've got a lot to do. And we can't use money. We can't use time this way. But they celebrate, and they celebrate big. Because Nehemiah is a leader and God is God, understand the power of celebration. And I just want to infuse us with that same knowledge and that same feeling of the power of celebration. And we're going to talk about, as we think back through the story, what we just read, the power of us celebrating God, the power of God celebrating us, and the power of us celebrating others, each other. So let's first talk about us celebrating God and the power of that. Because they do celebrate God because they realize, hey, this was a God-sized thing. There's no way we could have done this without him. He protected us from our enemies. He enabled us to do more than we could do without his empowerment. He empowered us. He deserves credit. And so we're going to sing praises and we're going to celebrate God. And that's the way they do it. They praise God in song and all these musicians and all these choirs. And I love the little detail that he gives when he says the musicians have built villages for themselves. They lived in the same little villages. Isn't that incredible? I mean, wouldn't that be fun? And you know what the musicians who lived in villages called themselves? The village people. Somebody got it. That's right. Let's see the village people. There they are. I don't think they look quite like that. I don't know. But can you imagine what it would be like to grow up in that village with just all musicians and artists? It'd be a blast, right? And probably every night they were like, YMCA, right? And in fact, can we do it? Let's try to do it. Okay, can you know, YMCA? All right, so here, I'll sing it, all right? Because I'm terrible. So it's fun to sing at the, you sing it with me. It's fun to sing at the YMCA. It's fun to sing at the YMCA. Okay, that's enough. But we can have fun a little bit in church. This is holy. Come on. Okay, I'm kidding. Right, but so these musicians, and he calls them up and he says, okay, guys, village people, musicians, you need to come. And they do all this incredible music and they celebrate God. Even though their circumstances are still not great, their town is still in rubble. They're still pretty impoverished. Their enemies are still just right outside the walls. But they celebrate God. Because no matter what our circumstances, we can celebrate the God above our circumstances, who's always good and who's always at work. And that's why it's so powerful when we come in here each week, or you watch or you're involved online, and we worship God and we come together like this, because it lifts our head to see the God above our circumstances. And that no matter what's going on in our world, we can celebrate. And there's a reason that our worship is celebratory. It has a lot of energy to it. It's not just a chosen style or whatever. It's because we want to celebrate God, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And this is to be a place of joy. And as the Bible tells us, joy doesn't come from circumstances. Joy comes from understanding no matter what circumstances I'm in, God is above them and I can trust him and he's good and he's up to something good. And therefore, we come in here, and the world could be a beatdown, but when we come in here, we're like, oh yeah, that's right. God is God, and he's on his throne, and he's doing what he's doing, and I can trust him, and I'm going to celebrate him. And we have our own village people, and I want to celebrate them. I'm talking about Chase Oaks Worship. All of our worship leaders and musicians and technical people and light people and sound people and all to make that work. They work really, really hard for us. And I wish you could see behind the scenes, because it is a beautiful thing. In fact, you can see behind the scenes if you, like on Instagram, if you follow Chase Oaks Worship, I encourage you to do that. You'll see a lot of behind the scenes stuff, how they write songs together, how they pray for you, how they do the, I mean, just incredible stuff. And I'm telling you, this is a group of people who are, love you, they love Jesus, and they want to bring the two of you together. And to experience the presence of God in a transformative way. They're not a bunch of divas. They're not a bunch of what, I mean, these are godly people who are super talented, but who use those talents for us. And it's the most fun part of my job. And follow them on Chase Oaks Worship. But I want to thank them, and let's do that now. Just everybody involved in that. They are amazing and they're godly and wonderful. So they're celebrating God as they should. And again, it's a regular thing that we get to do, and it strengthens us when we do that. But I also want us to understand the power of celebration, how God is a celebrator of us. That yes, God who empowers, we should celebrate, but he also celebrates those he empowers, because we do have a part. God doesn't push us out of the way to do his work. He uses you and me to do his work, and we have a part to play, and he knows that. And when we give, when we serve, when we engage, when we encourage, whatever we do, God sees it. He recognizes it. And we have a real part in it. Like, you know, sometimes people, like a singer will sing a song, and or a preacher will preach a sermon, or an athlete will do something, and they'll be like, everybody claps, and he's, oh, no, don't clap for me, you know, because it's all God, right? And whenever I hear that after a sermon or song, I always want to shout out, well, it wasn't that good. I mean, it was good sermon, but if you're going to say it's all God, it's not me, I think it would have been better. Like, just, you know, a little bit better. I think God could have done better with that. But God uses us, right? And God celebrates us. We have a role to play. And in fact, I want us to understand that. And this is crazy. These next minutes of this talk are nuts. So God, let's talk about as a rewarder and then as a party person. So first is a rewarder. So God, when you do something, God sees it. Nothing is anonymous to God. And I'm talking about good things you do. As you use your words, as you use your resources, as you use your time, as you use your gifts and abilities, God sees and he will reward through all eternity for it. In fact, there's a judgment that we will experience, those of us who know Jesus, when we get to heaven, and it's called the Bema Seat Judgment. And it's not about do you get to go to heaven or not. That's already taken care of. It's when you get to heaven, there'll be a judgment. And the judgment is about what we've done on this planet. And will be rewarded. And now when I first heard about this judgment, I'll never forget it. Because I never heard about it. And I was in junior high and went with a friend to his Sunday school class at his church. And this Sunday school lady was one of those Sunday school ladies that really does not need to be working with junior high kids. Because she didn't like junior high kids. But that's why she was there. Because she wanted to make sure those junior high kids knew that, you know, we better shape up. You know, that she's one of those kind of people. And if you're one of those kind of people, God loves you. Glad you're here. But don't work with junior hires or senior hires. Okay, just do something else. And I'm so thankful for our junior people who volunteer in our youth ministries because they're people who love kids. And so thank you for serving. So anyway, she starts out, right? And she's talking about the Bema Seat. She was frustrated with us for something, I don't know what. And she was like, well, one day you're going to stand before God and God's going to, you know, make you go through every bad thing you've done. And she pictured it like a movie theater. And like everybody in heaven's going to be watching this movie of all the bad things you've done on this life. And she said, just think of that next time you think about doing something bad. Everybody's going to see it. I remember thinking, well, I don't want to go there. Like, you know, are there brochures for the other place? Because that's maybe sounds bad. I mean, I don't want to get, if that's what heaven's going to be, I don't think I want that. And, but then I found out actually what it is nothing. That is not what that is. The bad things that we've done are gone, forgotten, forgiven, eradicated. That's not what that is. What that judgment is about the good things we've done. Now there will be judgment on the quality of our work and it's always mixed motive and all that. Did you do it for you? Did you do it for, you know, whatever, but it'll be, and God is way more gracious than we are. It's going to be awesome. And I don't think it's going to be public either. But God's going to say, hey, can we just talk about all the cool things you did? Because it was amazing. Like I remember when you were a kid and you had this little bit of money and you could have done that, but you didn't. You gave it to somebody who needed it. Or you put it in the offering plate. It was amazing. I'm going to reward you for that. Or I remember there was a kid in your school. Everybody was making fun of him and you got in the way and you stuck up for that kid and people made fun of you. That was amazing. That was awesome. And he's just going to go through our whole life. You're going to say, man, as you got to, you know, more and more resources and all that, you didn't just spend it. You invested it for eternity. And you have no idea what it did. Like you just gave to church or you gave to whatever. Let me show you the ripple effects of what you gave and how many lives that impacted. Because you have no clue. But it's the coolest thing ever. And I'm going to reward you for it for all eternity. Because God is a celebrator. He's a rewarder. And that'll happen. It's going to be awesome. It will be happy for everything we did. But not only is he a rewarder of what we've done, he is also a celebrator in general. He is a party person. A lot of times people think, well, okay, Satan is the party person and God's like the no parties guy. It's not the way it is. Satan wants to destroy your life. He does not want you to experience joy. God wants to pour joy into your life. God is the real party person. And his kind of party doesn't lead to destruction in your life the way the Satan kind of stuff does, right? And just to understand this a little bit, like Jesus described the kingdom of God as a party. He's like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it's a big party and it's the Father's party and it's for everybody. And it's a joyful thing. The first thing that happens when we get to heaven or whenever after Jesus returns and we're all there is a big party. It's going to be a huge party and it's going to be a time of joy and celebration and all that. But this is what's crazy to me. The way God set up the Old Testament gives us a picture of his character. So when he set up the Old Testament era, the Old Testament law that governed kind of what it was like to be his people, nation of Israel, leading up to the Messiah when Jesus came, the light people who were light to the nations that he was using on this planet, the nation of Israel. He set up, hey, here's how I want you to do your calendar. And here's what's crazy. Every week was Sabbath, which we think is holy, shouldn't be fun, miserable. That's not the point. The point of the Sabbath was to be a time of rejuvenation and rest and worship and family and fun. Every week was like a party. One day of the week. And then there were all these weeks of celebrations to commemorate different things. And they were a party. And you had all these, and when you added them up, 81 of the 365 days of the year were spent in party mode. Now he got mad because a lot of people, I don't want to do that. It's too much partying. I want to work. And he got really mad at that. He's like, no, it's this is what I want you to do. That's 22% of the calendar. A little more than one out of every 5 days was party. But that's just getting started. Because there were also all these personal celebrations, like weddings. And when they did weddings, it wasn't like a 2-hour thing or a 4-hour thing. The way they did weddings, and Jesus went to these weddings and he, you know, spent the time and spent the days there. He even made the wine so that the wedding could continue. Their weddings lasted anywhere from 3 days to 6 days. I mean, there was a party. And everybody would break from work and you would just party for those days. And when you put all that together, the estimate is, if you did what God said in the Old Testament era, that about one out of every 3 days would be partying. I mean, that's pretty nuts, I think. I mean, as a boss, as for efficiency, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. You know, right? It's just like, that's too much. But that's God. Like, God, one out of every three. But that's not all. There was also every 7 years was an extra week, an extra festival week, a big party that had no purpose other than party. And it was a big deal. There was an extra tithe that everybody had to give. 10% of your income is a tithe. And it was an extra tithe that just went to this party. Now think about that. Like, it was a whole country, right? So the United States, the GDP is 24 trillion dollars. $24 trillion. Imagine if we took $2.4 trillion and threw a party every year, or every 5 years, right? Or actually, it's every 7 years, sorry. Every 7 years, and we threw a party. You know, we have 320 million people, so that's like $8,000. Imagine a party that had a budget for $8,000 a person. Imagine how many Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets you could have. How many meatballs you could have. I mean, that'd be a party, right? And you think, well, that's such a waste. I mean, God, think about all that God could have done. And this was a party for everybody, for rich and poor and good people and bad people. It was a party for everybody. And it was this huge blowout. And you're like, really? You're going to blow 10% of your income in a year for that? And God would be like, you bet. This is going to be awesome. What do you complain about? This is going to be fun. Because that's God's character. He's a celebrator. And then every 50 years was a whole year like that. It was called the Year of Jubilee, every 50 years. And a lot of things were connected to the Year of Jubilee, but one of them was all your debts were relieved. Like, that would cause you to throw a party, right? Mortgage, gone. Car payments, nope, it's your car now. You know, consumer debt, yep, that's gone too. There were no debts anymore. They were all, it was a reset, financial reset. Even people who'd lost land because they'd gotten in financial trouble, God was like, yeah, you know what, that land that you lost or whatever, it goes back to your family now. That would cause you to celebrate, right? If you were that person. And there were a bunch of that stuff. But the other thing is all the land went fallow for a year, which is actually good for the land, but also good for people, which meant in a farming economy, nobody worked for a year. And they saved up and they had grain and they had all that, but nobody worked. It was a party year every 50 years. I mean, isn't that crazy? But that's God's heart because he understands the power of celebration. And this is where it's been really convicting for me, because if I'm going to be more like God, I need to be more of a celebrator. And I tend to not do that very well and not stop and celebrate as well as I need to. And there's a lot. God's always worked. People are doing great things. There's always a lot to celebrate. Like in January, I had a Chase Oker come up to me after one of the services with macaroons. She'd made macaroons. And I wish I could send you a thank you note, but I lost your card. because again, it's the ADD thing. I'll blame it on that. But so if you're the macaroon lady, thank you. The macaroon Chase Oker, the mystery macaroon Chase Oker. But she made these macaroons in a note and said, "Hey, I heard that this weekend is your 20-year anniversary of being the senior pastor of our church. And I want to celebrate that. I don't want to let it go because this is what you've done. This is how God's used you in my family and how God's used you in our life. And I want to celebrate that," which was really cool. But then I thought, wow, you know, it is 20 years. Like, why didn't I celebrate that? And not just me, but all the people, many of you who were here 20 years ago. Like, why don't we celebrate all that God's done in this last 20 years? I mean, it's been like, man, I should have celebrated that. Right? And so one of the things I want us to do is I want you to come up with a new celebration. For if you're married as a couple, if you're single with some friends, your life group, why not come up with a new celebration? Or a family, come up with a new celebration sometime this spring and say, you know what, we're going to add a new celebration to our year to celebrate this. It could be a milestone. It could be a memory. It could be just something that God has taught you, something God has done. Something somebody has done, and just say, we're going to celebrate. We're going to add a celebration to our year. It doesn't have to be elaborate. You don't have to blow 10% of your income on it, you know, but just make another little party. But then we get to us celebrating each other and how powerful that can be, because Nehemiah does that. So one of the things you see in the book of Nehemiah is all these names, right? And go ahead and put the names on there. And we'll just keep it up there. All the names that we just kind of hurriedly went over. Think about this. God wanted to celebrate each person individually. And he puts their... And so 2,500 years later, here we are talking about these people. They have no clue. And they could never have guessed 2,500 years ago that there would be something like a LED screen with their names on them in a church in Plano, Texas, whatever that is, who are... you know, looking at their names. But God wanted it, and Nehemiah wanted it too, which is why he put it in the book and why he put it in the Bible. And now Nehemiah, I mean, God is a celebrator, but so is Nehemiah. He was a leader. He's the one who decided, you know, we're going to throw a party. We're going to celebrate God, and we're going to celebrate each other. And you know who was celebrated? All the hot shots? Yeah. But not just the hot shots. Everybody was celebrated equally, even the kids. They did almost nothing. They were part of it from Jeremiah. I mean, Nehemiah was like, yeah, we're celebrating them. They celebrated everybody. And there's so much power in doing that. I hope you can remember a time where somebody looked at you in the eyes and said, you know what? I think you're amazing. And I want to just tell you why I'm so thankful for you. I had a great conversation. We were in Wyoming with my son and his wife, and we had some extra time, just me and my son talking, and I looked at him, and just God sparked it in my mind because of this sermon, and I said, hey, Caleb, I want you to understand as your dad how proud I am of you, and here's some of the reasons I'm so proud of you and what I want to celebrate in you, because I love who you are and who you're becoming, and it's just incredible, and as a dad, I'm just so, you know, amazed by you, and here's why, and just able to name those things. It was a powerful moment because it elevates, right? And we all need that. Just like the macaroon Chase Oker, as she named, you know, hey, here's why. That lifted me up. Last week also, when we were in Wyoming, I got a call from a Chase Oker, an online Chase Oker from Alabama. Can I get a roll tie? Oh, come on. Yeah, it's okay. So anyway, online in Alabama right now, those of you watching online, you're saying it. And he called and he just said, hey, you know what? I was just thinking about Chase Oaks and how glad we are to have found Chase Oaks. And we're online Chase Oakers and we're, you know, they're faithful online Chase Oakers. And said, man, your team, your teaching team, your worship team, like, and what you do in the community is so inspiring and has made such a difference in our lives. And I was just thinking about it. And I decided to call you and just say, to you and your team, thank you. Well, he didn't have to do that. He's a busy guy. He runs a company. He had 100 reasons why he should do something else. But he took the time, just a simple phone call. Well, guess what that did for me? The joy of the Lord is your strength. It strengthened me, brought joy. And we can, that's the power of celebration and affirmation. And so let me encourage you to do that also this week. I mean, I'm talking about add a celebration to this season, but why not this week? Just choose one person. It could be in your family. If you've got kids, celebrate all of them. Don't pick one. It could be your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a leader. It could be a boss. It could be an employee. It could be a coworker. It could be somebody at school. It could be a teacher. I mean, I'm telling you, if you're a student and you celebrate a teacher and you write them a note, you'll make their year. That's the power of celebration. Well, let me encourage you just to do it. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It can make macaroons if you want to, but it doesn't have to. You can just give a phone call, you know, write a note or something like that. And I'm telling you, it's so powerful. We know that because when we're the recipients of it. So choose one person. And then you know what to do when you do that? Choose another person. And then you know what to do after that? Choose another person. And you will elevate everything around you. Now, we're going to pray that God will help us do this, to understand the power of celebration and to celebrate like in a firm like he does around us. It'll be like powerful if we do it, and he'll help us do it. But before I do that, I want to say something to you as Chase Oaks, because I want to celebrate you, and I don't do it enough. But I want you to know, as your pastor, I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I so love that I get to be part of this place. And what you may not know is that you collectively are making an incredible difference in this community. And because I represent this church, I'm around in the community and different community leaders and people talk, and they find out I'm connected with Chase Oaks, they right away be like, oh my goodness, we are so thankful for your church. Because your church, man, look at all that it's doing in the community. And they have real stories to tell and all that kind of stuff. Or I'm speaking a lot to pastor groups right now about rebranding Christianity and all that. And just all I'm doing is just sharing about you and what you're doing and what God's doing. And it is resonating with people of just and encouraging people of a church that isn't built around self, that is built around those who aren't here yet, that is built around a community of need and what that can look like. And you're helping people all over the place come up with a new perspective of church. Not because we're perfect. We're not at all. God uses imperfect people to do the coolest stuff. And that's who you are. And you lean forward and you're generous and you're open and you're engaged and you're doing it. And as I'm talking to pastors too, there's a lot of pastors I talk with who just feel beat down by their churches right now. There are pastors I talk to who tell me they wouldn't go to their church if they weren't paid by it. And how tragic is that? And I got to say, man, I just feel so fortunate that I get to do life with you. Last week, I got to speak to this group of pastors that was gathered by the largest church in the country. And I was there at that church. And it was really cool to be at that church. And God's used them doing great stuff. And it's this massive thing and all that. And all that's great. And it was a great opportunity. But you know where my heart was? I just want to come back here to you. There's no other place I want to be than in this church family. And as a pastor, you just make it a joy. So thank you. And I want to celebrate you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a God of celebration. You're a God of affirmation. You're gracious. You're a rewarder. And Father, would you help us catch that same spirit? Would you help us be celebrators like you, affirmers like you, appreciators like you? In big ways and small ways, God, just help us to know the power of celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.